All right, so it's that time of the service where someone's going to preach to us and share a word. And it's my wife, Heather, who's going to be doing that today. So I just want to pray for you, Heather, before you share. Jesus, just thank you so much that you're at work in Heather's heart and you're at work in each of our hearts. And Lord, what Pam has shared about what we say making a difference is so true. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that as Heather shares what you've placed on her heart, and what you've taught her over the years would really just resonate with us. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would take here these words today, mold them, shape them, and help us to have real open ears to hear what it is you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is such a privilege to be able to bring God's word to you, which is life, and to share with you what he's been teaching me. And it's no rocket science. It's real. It's practical. It's life-giving. And it's tools that we can use to cope with our everyday lives. And I'm preaching as much to myself as to any of you. So I have learned as well in this. We are in an Ephesians series, and we are loving the meat of Ephesians. We've been in it for a while, and we are just drawing out as much life as we can from this wonderful letter to the Ephesians. And our series is called Love Incorruptible. When we met in this hall 2 weeks ago, Irvin preached from Ephesians 4 about truth, and today I am preaching from Ephesians 4, verse 29. So if you want to turn there with me, there are a few passages we're going to go through today. So starting with verse 29 of Ephesians 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So I read it and I thought, well, that's very reasonable. You know, it means don't talk badly of people. And then I thought, actually, let me just look up what unwholesome means. And I was quite surprised by the depth of the word unwholesome. If you think of your words as being unfavorable, that's not winning favor with someone. Repulsive. I mean, I've taught science to children, and we've watched how magnets repel each other when you bring like poles together. Our talk can be repulsive. Offensive. We've all been offended or taken offense at something people have said. Our words can be offensive. Detrimental to well-being. That's a heavy word, detrimental. Corrupt. We know what corrupt means in this country. And loathsome. Those are big words describing our speech. So what the Bible is saying is, don't let these unfavorable, repulsive, offensive, corrupt words come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. I love watching children build with blocks when they're little, and they balance the blocks, and they build, and they build, and it's so easy for a sibling to just come along, and with one swipe of their hand, the tower's knocked over, and we essentially have the power with our words to do that. We can build people up with words that are life-giving, or we can smash them down with our words. If you are able to go quickly to Colossians 3, verses 8 to 10. Colossians 3, verse 8. Rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. It's very clear. We need to become people whose mouths are full of life-giving words. Proverbs 18:21 speaks about the tongue having the power of life and death. So we need to take care to watch our words carefully. Like that volcanic eruption can bring such destruction, our words have that power to destroy, or we can choose our words to bring life. Can we play a short clip, The Power of Words? This is a clip I found online, which just shows the power of words in children's lives. Maybe you'll identify with some.
Take one.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad to see you.
At your house, what do you hear your mom and dad saying most often?
Get off the couch. Come over and do the dishwasher.
Oh, go clean your room. Oh, hurry up, hurry up.
You need to do your laundry. I'm not warning you again.
Be quiet.
Why?
Because we're really loud.
Who took this? Who ate that? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that?
You're being distracting.
Yeah.
Like, I need you to turn down.
Clean your room, do your chores.
My dad says no. That's like right. All I hear.
Okay. And what's your
mom says, like, hurry up. What have you done productive today?
To unload the dishwasher, to clean the table, to wash the dishes.
Remember to bring your lacrosse stuff to lacrosse practice.
Clean up your desk.
How did you not find that? I was right there!
What's the nicest thing somebody's ever said to you?
I'm funny, and my teacher says I have a good imagination.
Someone said I like a really nice personality,
mm-hmm. And
that I can be really respectful.
Your smile's contagious.
One of my friends said, like, you're the best person in the world.
Really? How did that make you feel?
Like somebody really cared about me.
Yeah.
My coach, I love him because
yeah. Even
if we don't win or don't have a good mm-hmm. Game, he'll be like, you guys did good,
mm-hmm. And
they'll tell us what we did best and what we need to work on.
I like hearing good things about myself from someone else.
Yeah. Has anybody ever said anything that hurt your feelings?
You're so obnoxious.
Really?
All the time. I hear that maybe once a day. Those little comments stick with me all the time.
Someone at my school said I wasn't good at like a certain sport we were doing for PE. It made me feel kind of sad and that I should stop trying it.
This kid said I was a waste of life.
Oh, really?
It's just no one's a waste of life, in my opinion.
That's right. What's the very favorite thing your mom and dad have said to you?
That they're proud of me.
Yeah.
They said you're gonna do great things one day.
I love when my mom and dad like say I'm awesome and cool and like they love me.
I like to hear like good job, well done, congratulations, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it's I love you.
Really?
I really like that.
My mom says I'm special sometimes.
Yeah.
And my dad says I'm a really hard worker.
Well, that must make you feel very valuable.
It does. Mm-hmm.
She says like I'm beautiful, smart, pretty and stuff.
Yeah.
Makes me feel nice and makes me feel more confident and positive.
My mom always tells me that, like, I'm the most determined. So that's always stuck with me. Like, if I have a project, I just remember, like, I'm the most determined one. If I actually want to get this done, I can do it.
My dad tells me very frequently, and my mom tells me this a lot, too. I'm glad you are my son.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that.
Words have such power. You might be sitting here thinking, well, I'm not a parent. That doesn't apply to me. I don't have children I can influence. Or maybe my children have left home. You know, my chance is gone. Or maybe you're one of the young people and you say, well, I'm not a parent yet. They must just say nice things to me. No, all of us can draw an application from this. Whether you're an older sibling and have the chance to use words of life to a younger sibling, whether you're a child and your parents need encouragement, or a grandparent, or even a stand-in parent, or grandparent, or a teacher, a mentor, a leader, in some sphere of life, you have influence, and you can choose to build people up. In thinking about the gravity of this one verse in the Bible, I was thinking that the tongue can actually be like a weapon of mass destruction. It can cause the death of a marriage. It can destroy a family. In fact, your words could rip your family apart. It can break friendships. Your words could break up a church. Your words could ruin your career if you speak badly of someone. Your words could taint your reputation. Could discredit the government. Your words could even destroy a missionary effort that you've worked long and hard at. And on the flip side, your words could become a tree of life. We read about that in Proverbs 15:4. Your words can become a tool in reconciliation or peacemaking. We're told, blessed are the peacemakers, You can't make peace without using your words. Your words could make your marriage sweet. Your words could make your family peaceful. Your words could help your church to grow in a healthy way. Your words can bring hope to someone in despair. And your words can bring the wonderful good news of Jesus. We've recently, as a family, played 10-pin bowling a few times. And it's quite fun, I must say, with the lights and the music. And there's a real vibe. And we took the boys there. We're like, end of term, let's have fun. And they all agreed that Mom needed guardrails down her alley. So I got guardrails put up down the side of the alley to bowl the ball, because most times I'd throw the ball and it would just go into the side and roll down the back. And the guardrails made me actually get quite a good score. And I was thinking about this in the preparation for today, that actually what we need are guardrails when it comes to safely navigating the use of our tongue, so that we actually achieve what we're wanting to achieve. Matthew 15, from verses 1 to 20, gives us some insight about the root of the problem that we face. So can we look there together? Matthew 15. Verses 1 to 20. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are but rules taught by men.' Jesus then called the crowd to him and said, 'Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. What comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean.' Then the disciples came to him and asked, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?' And he replied, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit.' And Peter said, 'Explain this parable to us.' 'Are you still so dull?' Jesus asked them. 'Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, and these are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean.'" So our unclean words come from an unclean heart. That's the root of the problem. If you could turn with me to James 3, you probably know this one very well. James chapter 3, verses 3 to 12. "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So the first question for you to apply today is to ask yourself, what will come out of my mouth today, this afternoon, this evening, Monday morning? What about later this week when you're tired and ratty? What about later this year when you have family come and stay at Christmas time and they've been with you a few days? What will come out of your mouth? You have a choice. I want to read Proverbs 12:18. It's just one verse, you don't have to turn. It says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." So your choice is this. Do you want your tongue to bring a sword-piercing blow, or do you want your tongue to bring healing? We need to settle it in our hearts. This is a matter that requires some conscious choice. I know as a mum who homeschools my boys, I have a choice all the time. Can I just fly off at them when I'm feeling ratty? Or will I rein myself in, love them first, try and understand, help them persevere? And it's been a journey I've been on for 4 years of schooling them at home, not having much time to myself in a day or a week. And it's a tough journey, as any parent would know, when your children press your buttons and they know exactly what those buttons are. I have a friend, and I can call her a friend. She has decided that two words will guide her interaction with her two boys, and they are lead gently. And she pauses when her children interact with her in ways that press her buttons. She pauses and she meditates on those two words, lead gently. And just in that moment, centers herself. It's a biblical choice that she's made from one of the verses in the Bible to mothers, lead your children gently. And then she reacts out of a place of being slow to speak, not rushing in and getting into a rage. There's so much we can learn from a story like that. I read a very beautiful, or listened to a very beautiful testimony of a woman who said that her marriage fell to pieces and she just blamed her husband, that he had made poor work decisions, that he hadn't prioritized her, that he messed up interactions with clients and it was all his fault, and therefore their marriage just got worse and worse and worse and fell apart. And the one day she met with the Lord, and his spirit convicted her that it was her words that had destroyed their marriage, not his actions. And she wrestled with God and then went to her ex-husband and said, "Will you please forgive me? I have realized that it was my destructive words that broke our marriage up." And he forgave her and in time asked her on a date. And over time, rekindle their love and are remarried today because she realized the power of her words. And so there's so much truth in this. We can choose if our words are going to be like a sword that pierces and hurts, or if our words are going to bring healing to those around us. Luke 6:42, just going to get there quickly. Luke 6:45 says this. "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, but the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth will speak." So let's apply that practically. If your heart is ungrateful, what words do you think might come out? Words that grumble, perhaps. If you're ungrateful, you're just going to grumble about everything. If your heart is bitter, you might choose spiteful words. That will be the overflow of your heart. If your heart is always negative, your words will be despairing. If your heart is full of love, your words will be gracious. If your heart is faithful, your words will be truthful. your heart is peaceful, your words will bring reconciliation. And if your heart is trusting God, your words will bring encouragement to those around you. So if you apply that verse, whatever's in your heart, it will flow out through your words. It's such a logical thing to think of, isn't it? What's inside of us will come out of us somehow, and our words is how that happens. So how do we change our hearts? I would say a good starting place is to pray, and to pray with words of confession to the Lord, and maybe to someone who you trust and walk closely with. I struggle with this, or Lord, I'm struggling with this. I confess I sinned this week. I went into a rage with so-and-so, or I just lost it with so-and-so. Confess, and then humbly allow God's Spirit to change your heart. So that would be a starting point, is prayer. Secondly, what are you going to fill your heart up with? Let's soak in His Word. They are the most beautiful truths that you can read about in the Bible, about who you are in Christ. And you will speak those words as an overflow to others around you. You're chosen. You're accepted. You're loved. You've been gifted with wonderful things by God's Spirit. There are so many beautiful truths that we can fill our hearts up with so that the overflow is beautiful. Maybe to change your heart also, you need to change who you hang out with, or maybe the proportionate time spent with who you hang out with. Are the people you're seeing and talking with a godly influence? Are they positive? Are they encouraging? Or do they just bring more negativity into your life? We need to rely also on the Holy Spirit if we're going to change our hearts, or if we're going to allow Him to change our hearts. Without the Holy Spirit, you are just doing it on your own, and you are going to get frustrated, like those red boxing bags that people punch to get it all out. Okay, you're just going to feel like you're going nowhere without the Holy Spirit. His power enables you to live and to see the fruit of this in your life. And lastly, how to change your heart. What influences do you seek daily? Perhaps social media is your biggest influence. Who are you following on social media? Whose posts are you reading? Whose blogs? Do they love the Lord? What are their thoughts about this world and this life? What radio stations are you listening to? And what are their thoughts on what's going on in the world? What about TV news feeds? How is that influencing what is in your heart? We need to consciously choose what we fill our hearts up with. Proverbs 10:11 says that our hearts can become a fountain. Oh, sorry, our words can become a fountain of life. And that is a beautiful picture of all the good in our hearts fountaining out in our beautiful words that bring life. I was chatting with Doug about the lovely way Jesus interacted with the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus probably had every right to just say, "Can't believe you've been in adultery, and how dare you, and you're ruining your marriage or the other person's marriage, and this is wrong and it's sin, and have you not read the scriptures?" And he could have done that, but instead he dealt with the crowd who were throwing accusations and really got their attention to their own hearts. Whoever hasn't sinned, let him throw the first stone. And of course, the crowd sort of dissipated because they all knew they had sin in their lives. And then one-on-one, he dealt with the woman. And the way he handled her was gentle, was not to make a scene, was not to condemn, was not to lambaste or go into a rage or preach scripture, but just gently and lovingly spoke life. He said, "Go and sin no more." And that's how we need to handle our children, our spouses, our loved ones around us in relationship at work and in our families, is we need to choose the gentle, life-giving words that don't condemn, but that bring life. There's a song that Toby Mac has produced called "Speak Life," and it's a favorite in our family. Jack's already jiggling in the seat thinking of the words. And we all know the words. We sing it in the car. We play it loudly. If you ever hear it coming down the road, it's the McFarlanes. But I thought I'd play it for you because I don't know if you've all heard it, and the words are quite powerful. So let's have a listen. Song. I don't know about you. Some of the words that I love in there is that it speaks about our words being like the arms of compassion. Beautiful imagery. Or that hope can live or die. Or that you can watch the brokenhearted come alive. I love the image of lifting your head a little higher. I always think that it's looking to God and then use your words to inspire. Spread the love like fire, the love of Jesus. We have it in us. He's poured it out into us. We can spread it like fire. I love the thought that our thoughts can be raised a little higher. And when we interact with people who we struggle with, if we raise our head a little higher, look to Jesus, realize he's filled us with his love, and then raise our thoughts a little higher, you will find something to say to them that will speak life. In Genesis 1, we know that God spoke everything into being with his words. There are, I've listed all the verses from Genesis where God spoke life into being. Then God said, and it was so. Then God said, and it was so. And even in verse 27, God created mankind in his own image. He spoke life into being. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. That same God, That same Spirit of the living God lives in us. That same Spirit who spoke life into the world lives in us. How much more can we rely on God's Spirit to help us choose words of life? Words that will heal, words that will transform, words that will restore or redeem or set free, words that will give courage, words that will author, words that will complete or deliver or teach, words that will bring life. So what is our role? We need to lean in. Like a child sitting on a parent's lap leans back, or a baby leans into your shoulder. We need to lean into the Holy Spirit and fill up and refuel and pause to be taught and soak in the truth that he shows us, so that the empowering of the Holy Spirit will help us to change our words. So I've called today's sermon, Change Our Hearts, to Change Our Words, to Change the World. And I really pray that God's Spirit will do that with each one of us, myself included, in the days and weeks and months and years ahead of us, because then we can bring his life to the world. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for living in us. Thank you for the privilege of inviting you to be in us. Thank you for your love that fills us. Thank you for your Spirit that teaches and guides us. Thank you for all the truths that we read in your word about the life that our words can bring and the power to build others up. Thank you that that is your heart. We don't want to use our words recklessly, Lord. We don't want to be like the devil who looks for opportunities to destroy and break down and to create chaos and death. We want to use our words for the opposite, Lord. We want to see your life in people. We want to raise our children. We want to raise our leaders. We want to raise people up with life-giving words. We want you to work in them and bring them to places of wholeness, where they're operating in everything that you've purposed for them to do. And so help our words to be inspiring. Help our words to call out the good we see in people. Help us to pause when we feel like we might explode, and to choose carefully what we say, that our words don't pierce like a sword. Thank you for the precious gift of your Spirit in us, and we want to lean in to you today and in the days ahead, for you to teach us all that we can learn about how we use our words, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.